Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis refuse. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.
You know, for a lot of these songs, I always like to almost want to play the whole song, you know. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the Men's Spiritual Hour. As you know, we're on about once a month, normally the same Tuesday every month. This month we kind of shifted a little bit because of some travel plans for everybody. So we want to welcome you to another show. As you know, we set this show up with the intention of being able to have men come on and talk about their spiritual journeys and be able to share that. And I think that came from the concept between me and Mike about how, you know, just like most spiritual men, you know, you go to all these events and conferences and everything around the world, and for every training certification, whatever you do, you know, you're pretty much maybe one or two or 10 guys at most in a room of women. And, you know, with that, it's interesting how, you know, there, as the thought would go, most of the spiritual people, I guess the women got the memo first and the men are kind of waking up later. So, you know, with that, we wanted to have a radio show where, you know, we could kind of create a support group or a forum for men, you know, where we can bring people on and, you know, have other men talk about some of the experiences where they got, you know, to where they are now. So, as always, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about this show and other shows by going to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. I'm going to go ahead and pull in my co-host, Mike. Mike, are you there?
Hey, Mark, here I am.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on the show. It's me and Mike are kind of in like two different parts of the planet. Mike's up there in the freezing snow and probably has more miles on his snow blower than I do on my car.
Yep.
And I'm of course, I was up in living up in the woods up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, basically after being in isolation for about a month or 2 months, I decided to come down and rejoin civilization again. So I've been down living with my dad in Winter Park, Florida, which is right outside of Orlando. And, you know, we basically have been suffering with 70, 72 degrees. So... So, as always, it's always great to have you on, Mike, and I'll go ahead and promote Mike for a second because Mike does some absolutely incredible music, and if you haven't listened to any of it, we'll actually close off the show tonight with one of his musical pieces that I have on the recorded track. I have to kind of say that because then Mike is like scrambling to get his keyboard connected to the phone, and we're not going to do that. If you want to actually hear him do some of his live music, once a month he does a show on what's called the St. Germain Radio Show with our friend Brigida. And just an absolutely incredible show where, you know, she's channeling Ascended Masters and he's channeling angelic music. And, you know, you don't actually have to wait for the show to hear that. If you go to his website, go ahead and give out your website to everybody, Mike.
Sure. It's www.mikesnydercc.com. That's MikeSnyderCC.com.
Oh, excellent. So if you go to his website, you can go ahead and actually purchase and download his music directly from the site. And I think to this day, I have every single one of his CDs. And they're all different, and they're all incredible. So if you haven't had a chance to do that or to go up and check out his services, it used to be when I first started working with Mike, the only way you could experience his services was to go visit him in New Jersey. But he's starting to offer that remotely now, so no matter where you are, you can actually have a live music session with him. So that's actually a really incredible experience of what I call the dance between your own body's energy and the music that he plays. That's when he actually does something like that, the music that comes through is actually customized for you and your soul. So it's absolutely a really incredible experience, and I highly recommend that. So make sure to check him out. Before we I turn this over to Mike to introduce the guests we have on for this evening, I just want to do a general announcement to everybody to let you know that, as you know, you normally hear me on Thursday nights at 9:30 for what I call the main Spiritual Connections radio show, which is how we got started a while ago. I just want to let you know that this Thursday is going to be the last time that we're going to be on Thursday nights at 9:30. We're actually going to move that show starting in March to Mondays at 8 p.m., and all that information is up on spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So the show's not going away. We're just going to move it to an earlier time slot. So that's Thursday night at 9:30. We'll actually do the last show this Thursday. We have an incredible guest coming on. You can find out about, I want to call her Michelle, but her name's not Michelle, but she's actually a relationship coach and did a lot of training with that other great coach, David Deity, and who is actually a sex coach. And she's going to be on talking about the nature of relationships, the dynamics of everything and all that. So make sure to check that out this Thursday at 9:30. All right, Mike, who do we got tonight?
Okay, Mark, tonight our guest is Marty Polinick. And Marty's website is www.soulfultransformations.com. And if you go to his website, you can get some more information about him. And we're going to get plenty of information about him tonight as he tells us his story. And on his website, you'll see that he offers intuitive coaching sessions. His sessions shed gentle light upon your soul and offer great insight into your journey here on Earth to help you with what you signed up for so you can continue forward in a more destined life purpose. His goal is to help you co-create your life so that you're making choices in a conscious way instead of unconsciously. So, Marty, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mike.
Okay, well, it's great to have you on our men's show tonight. We'd like you to introduce yourself, and I'm not even sure what part of the country you're in right now or where you live.
I currently live in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay. And, if you can tell us a little bit briefly about some of the work that you offer, and then after that we'd like to get into hearing a lot about your story and how you came into everything.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you, Mike and Mark, for having me on the show. It's a pleasure, and to have a show like this, it's very much needed, especially now in our culture as we're facing different things, especially as men are going through the various challenges that we're faced with. It's just so important to have something like this. But in my work, what I do, how I first got into this is that I started studying archetypal astrology, and what I discovered is that I just have a natural ability for it, and people that I studied with, they just noticed that I have a natural ability to read someone's birth chart very quickly and very accurately, and several have said to me, you really should consider doing this as a career, just do something with it. And that's the tool that I use. I don't call myself an astrologer because it's like I see astrology in a much different way than most astrologers see it as. I merely see it as a tool. It's like a lens, a telescopic lens that I'm looking into to peer into someone's soul. And what I'm doing with when I say archetypal astrology, I'm looking at patterns. If we can just like remove the fancy language of archetypes and saying archetypal, is that, you know, everyone can really get clear with this and honest and say, yeah, we're all creatures of habit. We tend to follow patterns. And so I'm looking at patterns that people are following that aren't so much serving their soul's growth anymore. You know, at one point in their journey, these patterns were serving their soul's growth, but you get to a certain place in your journey where it's just no longer applicable. And many of these patterns are coping skills and survival strategies that one had to adopt and use, especially early on in one's life. And so where a person may come to me is they're using these same coping skills, survival strategies, and it's like they're trying to move into the new, you know, via the old wounding, you know, via these old coping skills, survival strategies. So that's where I get in as a strategist and look at what's going on and give coaching and give guidance, you know, on how to lead or guide the person into the next stage of their life.
That's really cool. So, I'll chime in and just say welcome to the radio show. And I always like to tell stories when I'm on. So I'll talk about the fact that, you know, I met you a ways back. And, you know, one of the things we did is we actually had you on the Thursday night show. This is kind of a sidebar for a second, but tell everybody, because I think what I thought was really interesting is the lineage line of where you learned a lot of your stuff from. So if I remember correctly, one of your teachers on your path, and we'll come back and talk about your journey, but wasn't one of your teachers Robert Ojado?
Yes, Robert Ojado, and ironically, he also lives here in Boulder, Colorado.
And Robert Ojado's teacher was, I think, Carolyn Mace?
That's correct.
And who was Carolyn Mace's teacher?
I'm not sure if her actual teacher, right. I do know this. She worked with Dr. Norm Shealy because she started off as a medical intuitive. And so she met him. They worked together. And she was just a brilliant medical intuitive, and of course she's a brilliant spiritual teacher that still tours the country and lectures on a global level.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know Mike had done an initial introduction of your services from your website, and I think for a lot of people listening to the show, they go, okay, what does that mean? So, you know, as an individual, just to kind of, you know, branch off into this for a minute, you know, what would be an example of, like, say, you know, like a man coming to you and, you know, what would be the service? What would the service look like?
Well, first of all, if someone is going to come to me, it's usually not because their life is going well for them. It's usually something has happened, you know, in the form of a crisis, you know, something they may be going through, a divorce, they may be facing a potential job loss, you know, they may be experiencing depression, or they could be a spiritual seeker too. They're just wanting to get curious more and know thyself more. And what are some of the primary ways that a man would actually come to me via that? And it was, as you mentioned before, about going to a lot of these spiritual workshops and these events and seeing how most of them are women. Yeah, I've been there. As a matter of fact, my astrology school, it was mostly women. It was like me and one other man in the whole class. And so, with that, a lot of my clients happen to be women. I mean, some men, and I applaud those men for coming forward and having the courage, to know thyself more. And I definitely encourage more men I don't like to use that expression to like wake up and get with the program. I know some people do, but I more or less just encourage them to seek out more and get to know their self better. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember I remember you had done some work. You know, I had actually paid you for some of your services and had a chance to see you work, and it was just absolutely amazing. And I think it was about – it was probably about a month ago. I was actually going back through my notebook and looking at the notes I had taken about the information you gave me at the time. And, you know, hindsight is always really good for anything you get as far as going back and looking at readings and stuff like that. And it's funny because as a side topic, I went to this retreat this past weekend, and the gentleman, Dr. Reverend Michael Milner, who's in charge of the Oneness Movement for Florida, had mentioned something to the group. And he had said that it's really important that you, in this situation, he was talking about a prayer journal, so that you would keep track of what you asked for, when you asked for it, and what you were expecting, and then going back and looking at it every month or so, or every 2 months, or 6 months, or a year, just to kind of see, because one of the interesting things he said in regards to this situation and tracking your requests is that you'll find out that if you look back at every single prayer you have ever done, eventually every single one of them will always be answered. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're going to get what you want or it's going to turn out exactly the way you wanted it. It's that you get what you need versus what you want kind of phrase. But I thought it was really interesting, and I bring that up now because for every reading that I've ever had, I actually take notes, and then I go back a year later and I look at the notes just to see how accurate the person was and you know, how good was their info. And, you know, as we talk about you and your work, it was amazing because I went back and I was, like, looking at all the notes you gave me. And I want to say that you did that reading for me, I think it was 2 years ago. And it was just absolutely amazing to see all the synchronicities. And of course, you don't see that when you're going through it, but when you can go back and look at it in hindsight, it's just absolutely amazing. So thank you for all the great work you do and, of course, sharing your gift with me at the time. So I just wanted to sidebar with that. So before we go into, you know, how this all started, because I want to talk about you starting in the Marine Corps, let me turn to Mike and just ask Mike if you have any questions at this point.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mark. Well, I think what I'd like to do is hear more of your story first, and I think I'll probably have some more questions along the way with that.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Okay.
So, Marty, let's just go back. I mean, you know, I like this, you know, if anybody reads your bio and everything, you know, you look at the transition. I mean, you basically were Marine, and now you're basically, you know, you're in this whole area of spirituality now. And, you know, if there was any type of gauge of a huge shift in somebody, I think that would have to
I'm trying not to laugh because it's funny.
So give everybody a snapshot. I mean, you know, go back as far as you want. I mean, for some people, they talk about when they were kids, they saw angels kind of thing. So you go back
right.
as far as you want and just unfold this for us and so we can, you know, kind of go through this journey with you.
All right. Well, I surely appreciate it. And this is an honor to once again to actually, you know, to share. And, you know, I got to tell you, Mark, yeah, to go back, even, you know, Marine Corps era, when I served as a Marine in active duty, it just like, wow, I literally feel like I've lived like seven lifetimes in this lifetime already. it's no joke.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's just been an amazing journey as far as like what's unfolded, what's manifest, who I've met. And I stress this to the audience. I mean, everyone you meet, it's not an accident. I mean, there is such a thing as synchronicity, and it's just not woo-woo. It's really the God's honest truth, and I've seen it manifest in my life at different stages. But I like to go back as far as, like, early childhood. And I know what you're alluding to there about how, yeah, some people, like, they start seeing angels or start seeing auras or different shapes or, you know, a spirit guide starts talking to them, you know, due to them being clairaudient. And I got to say, like, my abilities came, you know, to the front when I was a little child and I was exploring art. And people around me noticed, like family members noticed, that I had a natural ability to just to draw well, to just paint very well. And one thing I got to say with art, and I do have the artist archetype, is that the artist is very much connected to the symbolic realm, which is, you know, very much the path of the mystic. You know, a mystic is one who sees life in a symbolic way. And so just the ability to just connect there and to draw things and paint with that, it's like I was also able to just sense people's energies, especially like in the family that I grew up in. I just was immediately able to, I would get up out of my bed and I could immediately sense my foster mother's energy, like in the basement. I mean, as weird as that sounds, and just, it was one of those things where it's just, you start questioning it, but of course you don't have the, a healthy ego to really question it in a way that's, you know, constructive. So you kind of it's like you start like growing up, and of course due to the home, you know, that one grows up in, especially the one that I grew up in, it just wasn't, I guess, acceptable to really go there and just like, you know, approach foster mom and say, hey, gee, this is what I'm feeling from you, and start reading the person, you know, nothing like that. But it's just, yeah, just not just my foster family, going out into the world and around others. And it's just like I can say, like, now how I articulate it is that everyone just like has like a different soulful energy. And everyone has just different it's like almost in some ways it's hard to articulate, you know, because it's more of like a clairsentient thing, just, you know, feeling others' emotions and their energies. And so just like with that, it's like I always felt different. I always felt that there was like something different about me. And of course, my foster family saw it. You know, they knew that about me. And just as I went on into school and I grew up, I continued to see it. But there's a certain point in my journey, like I want to say teenage years, and this is probably common, where I started blocking it. Just a lot of anger, a lot of unprocessed anger started coming up. And I just sort of just didn't want to go there, you know, to explore it any further. And it's sort of like I guess high school years, I really developed a deeper interest in athletics. I know, like, all through growing up, I, you know, engaged in athletics. But and so my engagement in athletics, I got to see, you know, teamwork, you know, camaraderie, you know, being a part of something I really didn't feel at home, I didn't feel that, you know, very much, you know, growing up in the type of home that I grew up in. And so it led me to go further into something that I could, you know, serve, something outside of myself. And then it just, of course, led me to just have a natural curious fascination with the military. And I explored different branches, and the Marine Corps, like, really got me. As I like looking at that, they really just pulled me in because I just saw a lot of things that I guess I could identify with. And one of those being is just that warrior aspect of me. And this is an interesting piece right here, is that when I was over in the first Gulf War serving as a Marine, my foster family had sent me this little card, and it was about the warrior, and, like, my name was on it. They found it in some gift shop, and then years later, I found out that I actually have the warrior archetype, you know, and I've always felt that, too, for quite some time. Say it again, Mark?
Oh, it's like, yeah, wow.
Yeah, it just, no, like I said, like, none of this is accidental. Like, you just start seeing these different things, and not to fast forward too much, but just to help the audience and have them paint a picture and they can perhaps relate in their own lives. This is another archetype that I was so unconscious of for a while, and I denied it for the several years. And I'm like, no, I don't have that. When I was in law enforcement, I constantly got told I should be a detective. I should put in for the detective bureau. I'd make an awesome detective, so on and so forth. And I'm like, you know, no, I just don't have an interest in that. But through my study of astrology, actually I had the detective archetype, and that's one of the archetypes that I use to connect with people when doing readings, you know. So it is amazing, like, what's unconscious in us. And for someone to come up and tell me that, oh, no, I'm conscious of everything, I live a totally conscious life, that's just not true. It's so far from it. You know, much of our journey on this path is about becoming more conscious of who we are. You know, it's just, it's, you know, coming to know thyself through all that. And I was, and of course, like I said, someone just saying that, that's just a total ego statement there. And but so now getting back to the you know, my journey there, you know what led me into the Marine Corps, you know, those various pieces led me to enlist and go serve. And I got to say, like, there was also another part of me that just wanted to go out and explore the world. I mean, I've always had a curious fascination with the world. And interestingly, I've met many people along the way that have looked at me and said, you know what, I really don't want to venture outside of, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, or venture outside of, you know, Tampa, Florida, or whatever the case may be. But to me, it's like I've always just wanted to see the world, and the Marine Corps really offered me that experience, you know, just to connect with people of various cultures and backgrounds. And I'm also going to stop there a little bit if you guys wanted to jump in and ask me some questions based off of what I just presented.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I just find it interesting so far how you're finding, even that part of your early story, how you're already finding similarities, you know, with you know, maybe even the reasoning why you were in the Marines, and then, like you said, it's your warrior archetype. So it's pretty fascinating how when we go back in our lives, you know, that we can kind of, in retrospect, connect these things. So I'm fascinated to hear more
I believe it was a Danish philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard. He said that, you know, actually our lives make sense when we can just stop in the present and look at them backwards, like look in the past. Because, of course, as you're going through something and doing something, there can oftentimes be confusion, or you can be this total misfit and thinking, okay, what, you know, why am I here and what am I doing this for? But absolutely, to go back and just really piece things together and put it into context in present day living.
Yeah.
Now, I also noticed, just to add this in, is that you were a police officer also.
That's correct, for about over a 15-year period.
Wow. So I guess we'll come back to that, talking about the aspects of the shadow.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Mark.
You know, it's funny, you know, because I've interviewed you before, but I never realized the extent of your story, because you started in an orphanage.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things, I guess, you know, as we go through your story here, is we can talk about, you know, I think for a lot of us, you know, men, you know, the hardest part of this journey, at least for me, has been the whole, you know, burning away of attachments and what we call the dark night of the soul. And I don't know why they call it a night. For me, it was like a year.
Right. Or for some of us, years, plural.
So it's interesting about that. So why don't you go ahead and just continue more of your story?
All right. Well, like I said, you know, with serving as a Marine, it's interesting because there was part of me that wanted to stay in, you know, but there was another part of me, I guess you call it a calling, that was like, your time's up here. It's just, it's time to move on. You know, you were meant to experience this for this period of time, and it's just time to leave. And I did. And, you know, I guess serve with honors, got honorably discharged. And then as I was making my way out, I went to school for a period of time, and then just while going into school, it's funny, once again, how we sort of get, I call it tricked, like the trickster archetype there. And so, you know, while in college, I was, like, studying to, like, be a personal trainer, you know, studying, like, nutrition, and then all of a sudden I just veered off and to start studying criminal justice. And then that led me into, you know, taking police officer exams, and it's sort of some of that stuff, some of that residue that was left over from the Marine Corps that wasn't, I guess, quite complete, it just sort of led me to want to go back into something that was, like, regimented, something that was, like, a more of a sense of belonging, a sense of, like, you know, serving together. And And, of course, like the wearing of a uniform. You know, I know for in this culture, that's really like one of our symbols. They say like being a man is like the wearing of a uniform. You know, there's, and of course, there's a lot of women that are attracted to that. You know, so a uniform in this, I got to rephrase this, in this patriarchal culture, yeah, it's about, you know, just the wearing of a uniform. And ironically, I mean, if we say patriarchy, it's like that does it does parallel like the word uniformity. You know, how, you know, everyone's got to be the same under the umbrella of the patriarchy. But so, you know, getting back to, like I said, the whole, you know, me wanting to go into law enforcement. Yeah, those are some other of the factors that led me to go in there and pursue that path. And so, it wasn't long before, like, I was, you know, serving as a police officer that I just felt, well, you know what, perhaps maybe I should move on and do something else. But something that just kept me there, because one of the another aspect of me is that I have a very curious fascination with just psychology. And I can say transpersonal psychology, you know, depth psychology. And it's fascinated me for quite some time. And as a matter of fact, on my journey as a police officer, I was going to resign at one point and go back to college and pursue a PhD and become a psychotherapist. But it just something also said, too, you know, perhaps that's not your calling, or that's not, you know, part of your journey. And, you know, sometime later, that's when my, archetypal astrology found me on the path, you know, when I started studying that. And so it's like I said, once again, it's interesting how we will pass something up and something, you know, else will come along. And I got to say, when I'm saying passing something up, that's something like I've always been intuitive to, just something I've always just had a knowing with just certain things. You know, I can't say my intuition is like 100% accurate, and I don't think anyone is 100% accurate, you know, all the time. But, yeah, those are just I've always been really connected to my interior. So when something does, you know, come before me, it's like I just sort of just ground myself within and just say, hey, is this true for me or isn't it? You know, is this something that I you know, should pursue? And so, You know, interestingly, you know, I didn't pursue that track, you know, to become a doctorate, you know, PhD in psychology, and this program came about to study archetypal astrology. Is there something that you wanted to ask, Mark?
Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and take a commercial break. Can you? I was going to say, it's surprising. We're actually 30 minutes through the show already. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Time flies.
So I want to say, everybody, if you're tuning in now, you're listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour. We're on once a month, normally on Tuesdays. So we're off a few weeks this week or this month because of some schedule changes, but we normally run a week earlier or so. If you want to find out more about this show and other shows, make sure to check out our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And before we go to the next question, Marty, why don't you go ahead and give out everybody's website so they can check out your great services and stuff that you have available.
The website that I have is www.soulfultransformations, that's S-O-U-L-F-U-L, transformations.com. And, yeah, one can go on there and sign up for a reading with me on there. And, of course, when you're on there, to browse the website, get some more information about me, look at my testimonials, and I'll view some of the. I have two sections on there for like reading material and DVDs, movies that I recommend people watch. This stuff has helped me in my journey.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get back to your journey and, you know, and all the different things that are going on, I want to actually sidebar for a second and talk about Mercury retrograde, because everybody seems to be talking about it, and you know, it's funny. It was one of those things where it's like if you they say in spirituality, if you can put your attention on something, then you actually start to notice it. And you know, I had lots of friends tell me, "Oh, Mercury retrograde, this and that," and my computer's not working, or I'm having communication issues, or I'm not going to go in and sign that new business contract with a friend, and all that. And I used to listen to all that, and, you know, I was like, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't ever have any problems with Mercury retrograde. I think it's every spiritual person's excuse to blame something on some planetary stuff. And I did this, I think I was listening to Teal Scott. We actually had an interview with her on the Thursday show, I think a couple months ago. And I was watching one of her videos up on YouTube on Mercury retrograde, and I got really familiar with the whole aspects of everything. And then I started to pay attention to everything in my life, and I go, oh, crap, that thing's impacting me too.
It is funny.
So for the people who for the people who have no idea what Mercury retrograde is, why don't you give everybody the 2-minute introduction just to kind of lay it out for everybody?
All right. Well, Mercury, it's a planet. Of course, it's in the cosmos, and it has an orbit where it affects everybody. Like, if say for instance, if you were to go, you know, get your birth chart, there's several resources online. There's some free resources. I know one offhand is astrolabe.com. They'll give you like a free birth chart, a printout and report. All you need is your birth time, birthday, and birthplace. And so when you pull it up, you'll see where you have Mercury that's in your birth chart. We call it like a Mercury natal placement. And so what it does is that, 3 times out of the year, Mercury goes with what they call retrograde. And what it is, like the language, it's like they say, like, well, it's a time where Mercury's going backwards. It's really not going backwards. It looks, if you were to like look up at it in the cosmos, it would appear like it's going backwards, but in all actuality, it's not. It's just like stopping. It's just like slowing down. It's giving that appearance. Once again, that illusion, you know, they're like, us human beings, we can be so disillusioned about stuff. And, of course, one of the things with astrology, and it's some of the language that astrologers use that I just don't like, is that everything's causative. No, it's not causative. It's like it is as above, so below. It's only like mirroring stuff back to us. You know, it's sort of like, you know, as within, so without. And so with Mercury, is, you know, let's say 3 times a year, for instance, like now we have this Mercury retrograde cycle where it's in Aquarius. And so different aspects, and to help some of the audience with, different things to look at, like in your own life with this Mercury retrograde Aquarius, look at the pattern, the archetypal pattern of the visionary, the rebel, So, yes, some other ones are, for instance, there was in mythology, Prometheus, he was a demigod who actually stole fire from Mount Olympus and gave fire to mankind, which translates to like enlightening mankind. So that's also like an Aquarian archetype. But Aquarius energy, it's really like about, the best way to describe it, it's like a very electric energy, like a very high voltage type energy, and it's like a clear cognizance. You know, it's about thinking. Were you going to say something, Mark?
Oh, I was just thinking for a second. You know, when you figure out where it is, you will normally figure out that it's in one of that Mercury shows up in your chart, that it's going to be in one of the houses for you, right?
That's correct.
So, what would be an example of a house, and then how does Mercury mess with that particular house?
Well, for instance, if one has Mercury in their fourth house, and this is another thing too, not everyone's going to have Mercury in Aquarius. You're saying like some people are going to have Mercury Pisces. For instance, there you go. We'll use that one. Say, for instance, someone has Mercury Pisces in the fourth house. Like a Mercury retrograde Aquarius, what it's, you know, in a sense, it's getting that person with the Mercury Pisces placement, once again, to go inward and look at ways to, like, to sort of, like, implement or try to, like, manifest a vision of what home, like, would look like other than the sense of home that was handed down through the family lineage. you know. Because a lot of times we do that. We just replicate these patterns. We do so unconsciously, and we don't question it. So I think, like, with those archetypes I was mentioning about, you know, the visionary, the rebel, you know, the archetype of Prometheus there, is that to look at, you know, also those archetypes around home, you know, the archetype around tribe. You know, what is it like for you to be in a tribe, you know, to be, you know, at home within yourself? And so that, and so you're looking at, like, of course, like I said, Aquarius energy. It's getting, like, one to, like, sort of challenge the status quo. Like I said, to challenge what was handed down from, you know, via the family conditioning there. And ironically, fourth house, that relates to father. So look at that stuff that father handed you down. Actually, the stuff that father spoke to you. Mercury's about communication, you know. So what were the messages that father spoke to you and got you to swallow, and that you've regurgitated, like, all this time there? You know, that's a, you know, we can go on and on with this forever for the different houses there. If you look, can you give another example, Mark, or we can move on?
No, I think we can move on. Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to ask you is, what would be the advice you would give to some people that, and I'm sure this is what you would do as part of some of your reading, but in a general sense, what kind of advice would you give to people that are looking to make big changes in their life? Like, let's say that they have a lot of ideas and thoughts going out through their head, and, you know, let's say they've been in the same job for many years or lived in the same area, and they're feeling that thirst for change, you know, much like yourself, like when you described your different life sequences in them. You know, like you said, you'd done one thing for so long, got tired of it and did another thing. So, you know, and I even look at this myself from time to time because I've done the same thing for a long time. And it's like, what's the first piece of, I guess I'd say, motivational advice you could give somebody that really wants to pursue their dreams? You know, like, let's say they've always played it safe and worked a particular job, and they're really looking to make that first step. And, you know, for me, I would say for myself, it would be faith, but, you know, that's not always enough for everybody.
Well, the first piece of advice, Mike, that I would give someone, this is really huge, is acceptance. It's because, you know, we can't change what we're willing to accept. You know, that means our current situation. I mean, you first got to accept that you're in a miserable job. You first got to accept that you're in a dead-end marriage. And, you know, in a sense, people will just deny that, because what I feel is that people deny that because, like, they don't feel safe enough to tell themselves the truth. And I feel like, you know, truth comes in many layers. I mean, truth is not black and white like our culture leads us to believe it is. You know, truth is multi-layered. And what's true for me may not be true for another person, and so on and so forth. But I think that acceptance is a huge piece. And I think once you can really, I feel, accept it, especially at a deep level, then, you know, things start to open up for the person, you know. And then, you know, one can go out there and start, like, looking for various resources, because this is what I get with people sometimes, is that people will say, oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, I am in a job I probably should move on from, or, yeah, perhaps maybe it's time that I should leave, you know, the spouse, and they want to move directly to resources, or even skip over that. And it's like they're sort of like they in a sense sabotage, you know, their self along the way there. But yeah, that's not the big one. And like you're mentioning faith, correct, Mike, you're saying before? I think with faith, you know, ultimately it's really about like a trust in oneself. You know, when we say, yeah, you know, we have to, because like I said, with the acceptance thing, we, you know, we'll oftentimes lie to ourselves because we don't feel safe enough that when the truth comes about, you know, that the universe or God's not going to support us. You know, I think that's a big part of that, why we'll engage in that kind of behavior. But I feel to really just accept where one is at, then one can, it's like you start, it's like when something's frozen. It's like when something just starts, the ice just starts melting away from it, you know. It gives it room to breathe, and therefore can sort of like move out into like another direction or directions.
Yeah. Well, and where I'm at now, it's definitely frozen, and the ice has just started to melt, and it got frozen again. So,
and that,
but,
you know what?
You know,
that, hey, I'm so glad, Mike. I'm so glad you said that, because that can happen too. You know, and that perhaps when that does happen, that could be another opportunity to get even clearer to look at things. And that's why I say where someone can really, I feel, go out and start looking in the avenue of like a life coach, a therapist that's more of a spiritual counselor, someone that can like help you to like look at something, and someone, you know, like myself, to really, you know, to face something. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes these truths that we're unwilling to look at, they're actually inconvenient to us, you know, because sometimes that truth we're looking at can mean, well, yeah, I got to leave my job, but guess what? I just gave up 15, 20 years, you know, being in this job, and I got a really a cushy job and a nice 401k or what have you, and that could be inconvenient for a lot of people. But what I do want to stress also is that, you know, one soul is not here for security. It's here for experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. And it's something that a lot of people face, and, you know, and I know other people in my life that also, you know, worked at the same place for a long time, have always done the same thing. And you know, what I find most interesting is another close friend of mine, you know, he tells me how he talks with his grandparents quite often, you know, and they might be in their like late 70s, 80s, you know, and my friend was at a point of transition in his life where he was like, okay, I've always done the same old thing my whole life, lived the same area. I want to go out and get my feet wet and explore. You know, and when he would talk with his grandparents about it, what I found fascinating is they would encourage him and say, hey, you know, go out and do all the things that we didn't do. You know, here we are 75, 80 years old, and while we've enjoyed life, we have a lot of regrets. We were always afraid to do this and afraid to do that, and we want to see you also live for us too. Like, we want to see you do the things and just don't. So it's almost interesting how, you know, when you have that as an example, it's like, hey, I don't want to fast forward to my life, you know, 40, 50 years from now, or anybody for that matter, and have those regrets, you know, and say, hey, I just never took the ball and did anything, or I never got to see the countries I wanted to. You know, so I think it's a great piece of advice for anybody to say, you know.
Absolutely, Mike. Yeah. And yeah, what I wanted to offer when you're talking about the your friend's grandparents is that recently I came across I believe it was a Facebook post somewhere I saw where it were like the rules for living from the elderly. And one of the things they were saying was that do not stay in a job where it's become like a dead end or where you're at burnout. They're like, leave it. You know, don't waste time. And I find that valuable. You know, I absolutely. You know, I also realized too that you know, when you're talking leaving something, you're talking change. And for a lot of people, that can be really scary. They just, you know, because I must admit, like for me, it's like I'm consciously, I embrace change. I love change. But unconsciously, there's a part of me that hates it. And where I see it like in my own biological family, you know, where I've connected with, you know, some years later. And so, you know, it's all really interesting, but I feel like one really needs to have courage, and I believe it's like the if you translate that to Spanish, it means like a core, to really stand by one's core, you know, to be courageous, and that's the one like has to go. I mean, it's a big part of the mystic. You know, if you look at the mystics, you know, throughout the centuries, you know, it was all a big courageous act of faith to do what they did, because they didn't sit down with their financial analysts and say, hey, let's kick numbers around and let's go talk to a brother or sister and see what they think and so on and so forth, you know. It was really a tremendous act of courage, act of faith, absolutely.
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to add, one quick thing I'd like to add just since we're running out of time is, you know, I think in our generation – you know, today now, that we do have it a lot easier to make life changes like that or career switches.
Absolutely.
Or pursue our dreams than the generations.
Agreed.
50, 100 years ago, because they had horrible working conditions. You know, like
That's
if you
right.
look at our area, we have a, you know, the Bethlehem Steel was in our area in Pennsylvania, and, you know, there was unsafe working condition, low wages, and people had dangerous jobs, and they had to do anything they could to put food on the table. But, you know, the
That's
laws
correct.
Have changed, and things are a little more civilized in a way that Not everybody has it easy, obviously, but there's just so much more opportunity for change and so much support out there that we just don't know about. And I think it's
that's
just great encouragement.
That's correct, Mike.
So.
I agree with you 100% there.
Hey, Marty, I want to make sure we answer one of the questions that we had up there, and that is, what are the resources men need to get them out of a mess they might be buried under? Let's cover that.
Well, here we go. Like, once again, back to, like, acceptance, I think one has to first accept that they are buried under, you know, a heap, you know, a mess, you know, what have you. And then the second, you know, is to take the approach of like a dismantling process, to take it away like piece by piece. Because sometimes, too, I've seen this where people just want to sort of go in and just like do things too quickly. And if you really got to treat it as like a layered process, you know, just taking things, you know, one step at a time. So, yeah, to dismantle certain things and just, you know, start very simple. And I think one of the biggest things is that we have a really difficult time in this culture with shame. So what we'll tend to do is that when we do, you know, get to that place of, you know, that, you know, acceptance, is that we can easily fall into a shame spiral. And what I got to say is that one has to learn to love theirself throughout the process, you know, and then, you know, go forth and go towards those resources. And one of the things that I'm seeing, and of course this radio show is a product of it, are just some of these local men's groups that go to like a men's group for the support. Because I think one will be surprised how many men are out there that are going through the same thing that you're going through. And heck, I mean, if there isn't a men's support group in your area, go on meetup.com and start one.
To jump to another topic, I noticed you'd said something about the orphan child archetype, and I guess the thing that caught my eye about that is how does that impact you as far as evolving forward, and what can you do to change that?
Well, the first thing that the orphan child fears the most is abandonment. And I'm safe to say that pretty much most or all your listeners on this show probably have an aspect of that orphan child archetype. Some of those, like myself, have it much deeper, and which in a sense means that, hey, we're here to lead and go out and teach and help others who are struggling with that. But, yeah, the abandonment issue is a big piece. And I saw it in, like, my own life. You know, as you heard before and early in the show that, I spent 15 years in law enforcement. I wanted to get out a lot sooner. Something like looking back now that I wasn't seeing clearly is there was a part of me that was like fearing abandonment. And it goes back to like staying in those, you know, dead-end jobs where, you know, we won't get clear with ourselves or truthful about why we're not leaving because, you know, there's a part of us. We'd rather stay miserable and stay unhappy in a job versus, you know, evolving forward out of it and saying, hey, you know what? I only have, you know, this much in this lifetime and that I need to move forward. So, yeah, abandonment is a really big one. And, what you know, something that we also don't look at, something that was had come to me earlier, is that we're actually, in a sense, all orphaned at birth. I mean, we're emerging from the womb, you know, born into the world. So, you know, right there we're experiencing, you know, that first step of, you know, feeling, you know, like an orphan in the world. But what I do offer that is that, you know, others can abandon us as much as they want, but we always have a choice not to abandon ourselves. And I mean not to abandon ourselves through our addictions, you know, through our procrastinating, through our complaining, you know, through our blaming, and so on and so forth.
That's incredible. Thank you. Mike, did you want to ask one last question before we finish up the show?
Sure. What do you think has been what do you think was the greatest turning point that actually got you to do the work that you're doing today? Like, what do you think that really, really pushed you that you went to a point where maybe you didn't think you could help people in this way that now you are? Like, was there any kind of advice that really pushed you over, or was it just a series of everything altogether?
I think it was a series of things altogether, but I feel there was a point I saw in my law enforcement career where I was developing cynicism. You know, I was, you know, living in a sense of quiet desperation. Because I got to say, like, my own awakening, you want to say, on the journey, I haven't had an awakening. I got to say awakenings, you know, different ones. And so, you know, when I'm in that place of, like, you know, cynicism, you know, depression, and just, you know, living in a sense of that quiet desperation, that's when the astrology piece had come up for me. And what I was so enthused about was I just was, you know, sort of naive about how much depth psychology is in astrology. And that's one of the cultural spells that we struggle with in this culture, is that, you know, you mention astrology to someone and immediately you get is, oh, you're one of those types. And I guess what breaks my heart is that I wish more people would just open their minds and hearts and to see how much it could help them along the way. But yeah, I got to say, just, you know, that tool and that particular teacher coming into my life had a great impact upon me. Absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. So,
you're welcome.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast the show goes.
I think
all of us, between me and Mike and you, we could probably talk for another 3 hours.
Oh, we're talking about easily.
So,
Well, thank you for having me on, guys.
Yeah, I know Mike kind of covered this with his question, but I want to kind of hit it from a different angle, and that is, what is the one thing you want to just share with everybody in closing?
Well, I just want to, the biggest thing I can say with people, and I've seen this time and again, and this also breaks my heart with people, is that they'll start their spiritual journey and they'll give up. You know, they'll get frustrated. Well, it's not giving me what I want. I mean, and I got to say, like, this whole law of attraction thing, it's kind of screwed some people up. This is totally where I totally believe in it. It's a very legit law in the universe. But unfortunately, I feel it's become hijacked by our materialistic, you know, capitalistic culture. So sometimes people can sort of get lured into the spiritual journey via that law of attraction. And what I want to say to people is that, yeah, just don't give up hope. Like, you know that you are guided by grace. Know that the divine is always within you, and that, you know, there's always someone that has your back. You know, I don't care where it is or what's going on. And it's to go forth with love, to love yourself as much as possible. And that's how we're really what I got to say in closing, fellas.
That's great. Thank you. All right, Marty, why don't you go ahead and give out your website again?
My website is www.soulfultransformations.com.
Excellent. And as always, Mike, it's great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed the show tonight.
All right. And thanks again, Marty. And for everybody that's listening, we're actually going to just close off the show. And I actually extended the show a little bit just so we don't run out of time. But I wanted to finish the last couple minutes of the show with one of Mike's musical pieces, and I'm going to go ahead and put that on now. So with that, I'll say goodnight, Marty, and goodnight, Mike. And it's everybody, you've been listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour, and this is Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good night, Mark. Good night, Marty. Mark's good night.